Okay, tonight is Monday night, March 17th, or Yud Aleph Adar Bet. This is the Gemara Shir, Masech HaSukkah, Daf Chavav Amud Aleph.
Okay, Rabotai, we're on Daf Chavav Amud Aleph. And we had read the Gemara last week, a Braita, where the Gemara stated the Holchei Drachim Bayom, Pturim in Asukah Bayom, V'chayavim Balayla, that if somebody is traveling on the road during the day, he is exempt from Sukkah during the day, but obligated to enter a Sukkah at night. Those who travel at night are obligated to enter the sukkah during the day. Those who are traveling day and night are pturim in a sukkah during the day and night. As well as holchin advar mitzvah are pturim bein bayom uvein balayla. The Gemara gave the example of Rav Chista and Rabba Bar Avuna, who were going to visit the Reish Galusa, and they said that they were shluchei mitzvah. So on the case of holchei drachim bayom, somebody travels during the day. The Braita said such an individual is obligated to eat in the sukkah at night. There is a machloikis in Shulchan Aruch between the Levush and the Magen Avraham. The Levush says that if he comes at night, he's traveling on the road, and he comes to a community, he's not traveling any longer. And there is a sukkah available in the community where he's spending the night. So he goes to Motel 6, and he knows that there is a sukkah in that particular community. So he is obligated to seek out that sukkah in his community, and to eat and sleep in that sukkah. However, there is no obligation upon him to build the sukkah. If there is no sukkah available, the Chachamim have not demanded upon him, even though he's doing absolutely nothing right now. We don't expect him to go ahead and build a sukkah in order to enable him to eat in the sukkah at night, and vice versa. Somebody who's traveling during the night, such a person is obligated to eat in the sukkah during the day. It means that if there is a sukkah available in his community, he is obligated to seek it out, but not necessarily obligated to build the sukkah. That's the Levush in Siman Tuf Resh Mem. However, the Magen Avraham, and that very Siman in Sif Katan Tesvav, says no, that just as a person who is at home can't say, I'm lazy, I don't have a sukkah, you have to build a sukkah if there is none available. If you can't share with somebody else, you got to build your own. So too, this individual has an obligation to build his own sukkah on the road. And if he can't build one, he has to go ahead and go back home to the city where he came from in order to eat in the sukkah if he's got enough time. So if he happens to be traveling, and there is sufficient time to go back home, he would have to go back home. If not, he must necessarily build a sukkah if there isn't any in his neighborhood.
Right. Speaking extensive that he has to bring supplies with him, or
if need be, that's correct. That's correct. However, he comes up with this incredible chiddush, does the Magen Avraham. He says, if he's starving after a full day's travel, and he knows that what? Building a sukkah is going to take 2 hours. He's first going to have to go to a lumber yard and buy walls and schach and everything like that. He would be pater from sukkah based on mitzta'er pater min ha-sukkah. Unbelievable, says the Magen Avraham. If you're hungry, you're starving, so you're starving. So if you're starving, so what would you do if you're starving? Teishvu kein tadur. If what would you do if you're starving and you're not in the house? Does that mean you wouldn't eat until you get home? No. If it's a chinuch eitzah, you go look for a Big Mac. You look for something available. And you don't necessarily wait till you get home. So too, you don't have to wait until you get a sukkah in order to relieve you of your hunger pangs. However, if you are not that hungry, al pidin, says the Magen Avraham, you must even make the effort to build the sukkah when you are a whole chederah and you are not traveling at night. Yes. Excellent point, and I should have clarified that. The answer is that during the day, when you are putter, you don't have to wait. If there is a sukkah wherever you're making your pit stop, you go in. But if you know that there is, if you're ready to eat lunch, you know there's a sukkah a half hour away from now, you are not obligated to travel the additional half hour just to get to the sukkah. You don't. And it's somewhat surprising that you don't. Somewhat surprising. But that's how far Teishvu Kain Taduru goes, that if you're ready to eat lunch, you don't have to worry about the sukkah. The only time that if you're traveling that you would have to eat in the sukkah is if at the place where you are stopping for lunch there happens to be a sukkah available, then you're obligated to go in. So this happens to be very, you know, relevant to people who go to work on Chol Moed Sukkos. You know, today in Midtown Manhattan, you know, the question is how far do you got to go? Do you have to go look for a sukkah? What? It's not a problem. I know.
They drive right up.
Yeah. Then there is a, just to finish this little debate, knowing that there is such a machloikis between the Levush and the Magen Avraham as to whether or not one is obligated to build the sukkah, so there are those who say that that for this reason, when you should try to avoid traveling during the Chol Hamoed Sukkos. Why should you avoid traveling? Because there might be an obligation upon you to build a sukkah. And we know very well you're not going to build a sukkah. So therefore, what the recommended procedure is, don't travel. Because you're obligated to build, according to the Levush. According to the Magen Avraham, you're obligated to build a sukkah. And therefore, some achrayim to make the recommendation. So don't travel during the Chol Hamoed Sukkos based on this. Okay, lo and behold, Tana Rabbanan. The Gemara comes up with another category which is exempt from sukkah, and this is subject to a machlokes the Bavli and Yerushalmi. I'm going to distribute Yerushalmi in a second, and then try to explain what the machlokes the Bavli and Yerushalmi is. Tana Rabbanan. Shomrei ha'ir bayom. Somebody who is a guard who is watching the city, is obligated to, is exempt from sukkah during the day, because he's a guard only during the day. But he's chayav in sukkah at night. Shomrei ha'ir balayla. If you have somebody who is a guard, a night guard of a city at night, pturim in asukah balayla v'chayav in bayayim. Shomrei ha'ir bein bayayim u'bein balayla, pturim in asukah bein bayayim u'bein balayla. Those who are guards at night, as well as during the day, are exempt from sukkah both day and during the night. And during the night. Okay? Now, First question is, what's the nature of the exemption? What's the nature of the exemption? If you're a guard, you're on guard duty, so what's the nature of the exemption? What would you say? What?
Of other people?
Perhaps. We'll see in a couple of minutes that it might be, right, it might make a difference as to what you're guarding against. But if it was real pikuach nefesh, would you need a braisa to tell me that? No. So what might be the exemption of a shomer ear? Somebody's on guard duty. What? Okay. Maybe people involved in Safi Tziva are exempt, perhaps. But that could mean someone who's, when you say that's Safi Tziva, then you don't have to give somebody an example of shomer ear. You could say, you're involved in Sarkei Tzibur, right? You're at a Mayanot board meeting. Does that mean you're exempt from Sukkah because you're involved in Sarkei Tzibur?
Is it something that can put off? Something.
Okay, so let's think of what are the typical exemptions. So what are you going to say? Good, he's not at home. So this is Keshu Kain Kaduru type of thing. Let's assume it wasn't Sukkah. You think the guy wouldn't, this is his job. Either it's been his job or he's assigned, right? It could be that people are assigned on a rotating basis.
Why didn't he get any job?
What?
Anyone, all day,
the Gemara's going to get to it in 2 seconds. Shomer Dinos of Pardesan. That's the next line of the Braisa. Next line. And we're going to see there might be a difference. The Braisa will say that there is a difference. So you might say that it's based on patient pain to do with type of thing, that if I were assigned guard duty or this is my job, I wouldn't turn down the job because I'm not going to be able to hold to eat lunch. I'll make sure that I have my little snack with me and eat wherever I'm posted to watch. So here too, just as I would not turn down the request or the assignment to to turn down the job if it was not Sukkos, you don't have to turn it down during Sukkos, and while you are actually employed or assigned to your responsibility, you're exempt from Sukkah due to perhaps Teshu Ke'in Taduru. And it's a good question, and the Gemara, our Gemara doesn't really talk about it, as to what exactly are you being assigned for guard duty? What are you being assigned to guard duty? Is it that you're trying to prevent people from perhaps attacking? Are you here only to protect assets? So we'll see in a second. We'll see in 1 second. But in order to get clarity on this particular brisa, we have to see the contrast between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. And everybody makes right with it. Suppose that you shall leave everybody. It's in Perek Beis of Hilchos Sukkah Halacha Hey. It's in the middle of the page. There's a little star next to Tani. Everybody have it? Tani? Everybody have it? Tani. Raisa. Shomrei ha'ir bayom, p'turim min ha'sukkah bayom, v'chayavim balay. So far, Bryce is exactly the way it appears by us. You're a guard during the day, you're exempt during the day, but obligated at night. Shomri ha'ir balayla, p'turim min ha'sukkah balayla v'chayavim bayayim. Shomri ha'ir bayom u'balayla, p'turim min ha'sukkah bein bayom u'bein balayla. It's no surprise, because a Bryce doesn't change between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. Problem is, here comes the interpretation of the Braisa by the Yerushalmi. Says the Yerushalmi, Hadad de'at amar bishomer gayasos. Hada de'at amar b'shomer gayasos. When do we say that which we just said? When you are watching from gayasos. What are gayasos? What? Armies. Armies. So that's when you are, that's when it applies. Now, what are you, why are you exempt? So take a look, Isaac, that's exactly the carbonate it says. Take a look at, on the right hand side is the carbonate, one of the two primary commentaries on the Yerushalmi. It's the first of the wide lines on the bottom. There are four wide lines on the bottom. B'divra maschul b'shomer ha-gayasos, she-shomrim ha-ir, she-lo yavo aleim gayasos, ve-ika mitzvah. So there is a mitzvah. What are you doing? You're protecting people that they shouldn't be attacked. Right now there's no pikuach nefesh. But you want to make sure that people, you give people a chance, you know. That's it.
What's that mitzvah?
The mitzvah is to protect Jewish lives. Okay. Protect Jewish lives.
That's struggling to get out of pikuach nefesh because you don't even buy
it. What? Okay, it's struggling, correct. If it was a, if there was an attack already, see that's the difference. If there was an attack already, that's pikuach nefesh. There's nothing good. So then of course. But this hasn't been happening anything for months, maybe for years. But Israeli soldiers know you can never let down your guard. So while you're sitting and doing guard duty, sitting somewhere, near Gaza, whatever it is, or in the north, you're exempt because you got to make sure that nobody's going to attack.
Is that
Lo Samar Adam Re'echa? Is a mitzvah?
But is this the same?
No, it's not. It's not. Right. Right, but Lashon Hara is when there is a current danger. Somebody's in danger, you're not permitted to turn away and say, I don't care what happens to him. I'm not in danger. He's in danger, that's a different situation. It is no danger to anybody again. It's nice, peaceful, and quiet. Peaceful, but you're simply doing your job. So he says, mitzvah. Okay. I'm not going to press the point. I grant you it's a little schlapper. In today's politica, we can understand why it is considered a mitzvah. Would you say that Israeli soldiers sitting on the north border
are pikuach nefesh?
No, right this minute?
Yeah.
What's the pikuach nefesh?
What's pikuach nefesh?
That they're exempt from sukkah.
They're exempt from Shabbos. Every Shabbos they do guard duty. That's not pikuach nefesh.
I don't know if they're exempt from Shabbos. You know.
But they can carry, they can use the
Again, anything that's needed for their guard duty, yes. What would be terrible if they would be, you know, you have 20 guys and you'll rotate, you'll eat the sukkah. Would it be so terrible?
Who says
they
don't have to do that? Who says
that if they're
rotating, they're not,
there's a reason for that? Okay, we will see. Maybe it doesn't. So maybe it is pikuach nefesh. But then, if it's pikuach nefesh, no real big chiddush. I don't need a braisa to tell me that in a war situation, when they're prone to attack, that I need a braisa. Oh, you're exempt from sukkah. Exempt from every mitzvah. Correct. So we have to try to work it out that it's not a terrible mitzvah. I haven't seen much discussion about it. In fact, in our Gemara, nobody comments. Not Rashi, not Tosis. No one ever said why you're exempt. Nobody said that you're exempt. Correct. And the Yerushalmi and the Bavli didn't say that it was Gaisos. That's the Yerushalmi's observation. And it could be that the Bavli could be talking just to financial resources. I'm not talking about, there's no threat for life. I'm just making sure that no robbers come in. But the Yerushalmi says, no. Avo b'shomrei mamon. Asu osan kishomer ganos upardesin. But if you're only here to do what? To save money, so then we're going to treat you like ganos and pardesin. I deliberately didn't read the next two lines of the braisa. What would you expect the braisa now to say? And based on you, what would the braisa have been expected to say about someone who's watching a garden that no robber should come. Would you say chai and sukkah pasul? Chai. Now we're going to read our brisa. Don't put away the Yerushalmi yet. Just read the brisa, going back to our Gemara, the brisa. Shomre ginos upardesim pturim bein bayoyim ubein balayla. People who are sitting and watching orchards and fields are exempt from sukkah both during the day and at night. Okay? Both during the day and at night. So now you can see what's going to be difficult with the Yerushalmi. What do you mean? Avol shomrei mamon asu otan kevat kishomrei ginos upardesim. That's making it terrible. He's trying to distinguish, when will I grant a shomer ear an exemption? When he's shomer gayasos. But if he's shomer for mamon, I'm going to probably make him chayev in sukkah. That's the way the flow seems to be reading. And just give me one more second before we pack. Two more lines of the Yerushalmi. Two more lines of the Kamei Yerushalmi. Abudma Malcha, name of a guy, Abudma Malcha, Hevedamach Kome Chanute. He slept in front of his store all the time. So I had a store, and he just wanted to make sure that nobody robbed it. So he camped out. He slept overnight in front of his store. And based on this, he wanted to exempt himself from going into the sukkah. I got to watch my store. Other Rav Chiya Barba. Rav Chiya Barba passed the store. Omale, he said, Ezel, Domach, Gav, Mitalalal Tacha. Go ahead and what? What did he tell him? What did he tell him? Go get lost. Don't stay here. Go sleep in the sukkah. That's what he told him. Go sleep in the sukkah. Very nice. Now, why is the Gemara bringing this story? Now let's read the Korban Eda. Korban Eda attempt to explain this. Let's read the whole Korban Eda now. Because the Korban Eda says that for saving money, there is no exemption of a shomer. Abudma milcha, kap shemai, heve domach, haye yashen lifnei chanuso. For Omar, the Ovar Rabchir Barbava Omar lo, leich vitishan v'sukoscha, go sleep in your sukkah. Why? Disover mishum mamon ein levato mitzvah sukkah. Just to avoid potential financial loss, that doesn't give you an exemption to exempt yourself from sukkah. Because you want to save a few dollars, you don't want to run the risk of getting a rob. That's the way he explains the Gemara. The difficulty is that the way he explains the Gemara is exactly against the Brisa. Because the Brisa says, Shomer Ginos Vit Pardesim is exempt from sukkah both during the day and at night. And there is no other explanation for what? No other explanation for exempting, for a guard who was simply watching a little garden. The only thing that he could be watching for is that what? People shouldn't come rob the fruit and the grain.
He says, correct.
But what does the Brisa say?
Good.
That's why if you look at Rav Chi Vega, on the side of the page, Rav Chi Vega says, I know it's hard to read, he writes, Ayin Korban Ega, Uperusha Tamuha, the Hashomre Dinos Pturin, Kimavur Bibabli, Daf Chavav. What in the world are you talking about? How can the Korban Eda explain this Gemara and claim that the reason why I made the comment that if you're guarding based on Mamon, that you would be Chayiv based on the fact that Shomrei Ginos are Chayavim, when the Brisa explicitly says that Shomrei Ginos are Pturim and Asukah?
So Rabbi Kidega says, I don't know what this man is talking about. And where does Rabbi Kidega tell you to look? The Ayin Magen Avraham. That's what he writes.
The Ayin Magen Avraham. Kidega tells you to look in the Magen Avraham. You look in the Magen Avraham. That's an excellent question. I don't know the answer to that question.
The words of this interpretation, that's not the words of Raisa, that's the words of Amorah.
What?
The
which?
Hadas Amar B'Shomer, who's talking there?
That's the comment, that's the Yerushalmi, that's the Amoraim. Amoraim of the Yerushalmi.
They clearly have different texts.
We don't know that. All it is possible is that they decided to comment on this text. It doesn't say that that was that the other text didn't exist in the Brisa. Didn't say that. Had you had such a thing, Rabbi Kivega wouldn't be asking a kasha. He would have probably would have thought of that too. But he doesn't believe that there are differences between the mission between the Babli and the Rishalmi about the text of the Brisa. Yes.
I need to finish the Babli because the Babli really said that Yoshe Ganes Padekim was with consultation. And we were saying earlier that the Gaiasis is Mishum Osei. So maybe you could say that the difference between the two is one based on the Torah of Osei, which you then say it's Osir to go to the Sukkah, because it's the Osei Kavitsa, you'd be Osir to go to the Sukkah. And that's
the guy who's doing that for what?
The guy who's watching the show where Gaiasis, he's Osei Kavitsa. He's usher to go to the sukkah, even if he wants to. Even if they brought him the sukkah here, he's usher. A guy who's washing it for mammon, it's mishum teshu. Teshu is only as a subjective type of
okay, person. Interesting. Maybe. In which case you would be interpreting the phrase pturim, not just pturim in asutta, but asur. Interesting interpretation.
That goes back to the previous part too.
That's correct. Interesting interpretation. Right? So, the Magen Avraham says that he interpreted exactly the opposite way. That when that Shomrei Ha'ir Migaisos Pturim Rak Bayom Ovalayla. Shomrei Mamon are Pturim both Bein Bayom and Balayla. This is how the Magen Avraham interprets it. That when you're a shomer based on what? Daisos. Then you're only potter from sukkah if you're during the day. Only during the day. If you're a guard at night, you're only potter at night. But if you're shomer mamon, then you're potter 24 hours a day. Why are you potter 24 hours a day? Just like Shomrei Ginos and Pardesim are 24 hours a day. Why? Because Gom Vei Mamon, you have to watch out 24 hours a day. Gom Vei Mamon are worse than Geisos. You have to watch them for 24 hours a day.
When is he your Shomrei? Is he your Shomrei 24 hours a day? Because it sounds like here, it's like you only have like a
shoe. Okay, that's a good question. It seems like, right. It seems the way the Gemara describes it, that whether or not a Shomer Ginos, you are potter, even though you're not working 24, you don't, of course the Chiddush is by Shomer Ginos that you're not working 24 hours a day.
Rashi says you are.
What? Okay, but then there's no big chiddush because Shomer Ha'ir is also if it's Bein Bayom Bein Balayla, you're also potter. So what's the chiddush? What is the chiddush? In which case? So therefore, you have to be.
Tell me, it's just like a Shomrei Yom and Laila, but even though it's not a mitzvah, he's still punter.
So what's the Yerushalmi now say? That if your job is to protect you from mammon, you're a putter all the time. Why? Why are you putter all the time? Why is a Shomer Ha'ir, who is protecting from money, why is such a guy putter all the time?
When he's only there, when he's there all the time, when he's not there all the time?
I would say even if he's not there all the time. Because if he is there all the time, the Gemara, the Braisa grants him that Ptor.
He has to be focused 24 hours on whatever job that he's doing, whereas the Shomer Braisos, it's a limited time.
Why is it limited? We're not afraid of a military attack at night?
It's not his responsibility. After his shift is over, he can be at ease.
Right.
And he can go.
And how about a Shomer Ha'ir for Mammon? You think a guy is...
He just said he can't rest any time. Like,
but why can't the other guy take over who's on the shift? It means a guy is on 24 hours a day, no time to sleep?
Because he's staying there? Then he's moving around.
He's out of control. It's
more like...
You're stationed at the on the gate.
Okay.
So you might think, both stuck about the gate. This guy, the Shomri, here for Mammon, he's patrolling the patrol car.
Okay.
The Yerushalmi also gives an example of a Shomri Mammon that's only 24 hours. You know, the guy is sleeping in a store 24/7.
Right.
That's the only case they bring of Shomri Mammon. Seems to imply the only case of Shomri Mammon is 24/7.
Okay, but then the Yerushalmi's Chiddush is no Chiddush. Because the Braisa itself said that a Shomri Ha'ir, Bain Bayom, Bain Balayla, is Pata from Sukkah, Bain Bayam, Bain Balayla. The Braisa itself said it. So what addition is the Yerushalmi adding by distinguishing between Gaisos and Mammon? The addition of the Yerushalmi is commenting on a situation where the Braisa grants you, the Braisa says you must go into the Sukkah. So what case must you go into the Sukkah? If you're a Shomer Ha'ir during the day, you must go into the Sukkah at night. To this, the Yerushalmi says, I'm going to tell you a big chiddush. When must you go into the Sukkah at night? Only when what? When you're a Shomer Gaisos. But if you're a Shomer Mammon, then you never have to go into the Sukkah. But if you were working 24 hours a day, the Yerushalmi added nothing above and beyond that. It's already in the Braisa. So it's a little difficult. I grant you that. It's a little difficult. So perhaps there is another attempt to make this resolution. Maybe there's a difference between eating and sleeping. And that the Braisa, the Yerushalmi and the Bavli are not arguing at all. The Braisa, the Yerushalmi, which said that a Shomer Mammon is to be considered like a Shomer Mammon is to be considered like a Shomer Gino, if they're guarding the city, for what? For what purpose? For Mammon, such a person is, so that's for eating purposes. For sleeping purposes, of course you're chayv in the sukkah. Why are you chayv in the sukkah when you're sleeping? Because you can't watch. So the Bavli writes as follows. The Bavli and Yerushalmi, according to this suggestion, are not arguing whatsoever. They're simply stating as follows. As long as you're active, you're on duty, you're exempt from eating. But the moment you do what? The moment you go to sleep, you're not performing your guard duty. So why shouldn't you sleep in the sukkah? Why shouldn't you sleep in the sukkah under those circumstances? Why shouldn't you sleep in the sukkah? So, Shomri Mammon, that's the whole point. Why is Shomri Mammon put through day and night? Because Shomri Mammon have to work day and night. Just as Shomri Ganos and Pardesan, they must work day and night. So if they work day and night, they're going to be pata from Shana too. The question is, why suddenly should the shift responsibility depend on whether it's Mishum Gaisos or Mishum Mammon?
Well, with Mammon, it makes sense. You can still be watching while you're sleeping. Not as well, but if you hear a noise, you hear the alarm go off, you hear the door.
Well, can't you say that by Gaisos too?
Well, you got to see the army charging from a mile away.
Okay, so then we're becoming very, very... Then the grace of Yerushalmi, no one's really talking halachas here. We're talking about cases. It's very difficult. This is very, very difficult. In fact, some use this distinction to explain another Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi writes, based on the previous Gemara that we had,
Chasan v'shush v'inen p'turim min asukah. Chasan v'shush v'inen. Who are the shush v'inen?
Entourage.
The entourage. Who do what?
Shomer.
And also, what else?
The chasan and the
kala. Good. The chasan and the kala went to sleep. What is their responsibility?
No one should disturb me.
No one should disturb. Okay. So the Yerushalmi writes that Shushvinin are only exempt from what? From eating in the sukkah. But they're obligated to sleep in the sukkah. Why are they obligated to sleep in the sukkah? Because they're not doing anything at that time. So the Yerushalmi writes, what the Yerushalmi is commenting on, that when the Braisa gives you an exemption, here is what the halacha of the Yerushalmi is. That when the Braisa gives you an exemption, it's only an exemption of something that is absolutely imperative. That while you're doing it, you can't eat. But if you're not actually watching, you're actually sleeping, under those circumstances, you're obligated to go into the sukkah. Obligated to go into the sukkah. So, but it still seems to be somewhat, It's not well defined. I grant you that it's still not well defined. Not well defined. Yeah. Okay. Now, let's look at the Shomer Dinos. The Gemara continues and says, asks a very simple question. Okay, you have these guys who are guards posted at vineyards. And fields. Ask the Gemara, Vila Efte Sukkah Hasam Vila Sku. Why can't you build a sukkah at your guard post?
Out there?
Exactly. So there are going to be two answers. Abaye Omar Teshvu came to Duru. Rava Omar Pirtza, Pirtza, Kora, Laganov. Pirtza, Kora, Laganov. What does that mean? Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi tries to explain both opinions. Abaye says that a Shomer Ginos Upardesim, after all, there's no mitzvah here, right? You can't say there's a mitzvah because nobody's life is in danger. It's just watching some fruits that they don't get stolen. Says Rashi, Ke'en Taduru. Kiderech shuhudar kol hashana v'beso, his kikaso Torah lehaniach diraso v'ladur kan v'sukkah. Im mitosav ukle tashmisho umitosav. Just the way that you expect to live in your house, that's how the halacha, the Torah, expected you to live where? In a sukkah. Now when you live in your house, you have a bed, you have your pillowcase, you have a sheet, what else do you have? You have your bug for your coffee, you have your this, you have that. V'zeh, eino yachol lahavion sham, b'pnei ha-toreach. And this guy can't bring everything there. Why can't he bring it? Because it's a big pain in the neck. He's got to schlep a bed to a sukkah. He's got to schlep his mug to a sukkah. He's got to schlep his pillowcase to a sukkah. That's a big tircha. It's a very, very schwach explanation. Exemption from a sukkah because it's a big schlep. Somebody can say the same thing. If his sukkah is not built exactly right next door, like if you live in a place where there are only apartment buildings, right? Right? When I lived in Washington Heights, nobody had a sukkah in their apartment building. There was only one sukkah in the shul. There was only one sukkah. And it was a big pain in the neck, schlepping all your food to the sukkah, especially Shabbos Chol Hamoed. Everybody, there was nowhere you had to squeeze your little gefilte fish into the shul refrigerator. The whole shul had to put their stuff in the refrigerator. You couldn't carry it. There was no Eruv. So why does anybody say that? You're exempt from sukkahs. It's a big tircha to schlep your bed back and forth. It's crazy. Very, very difficult. But that's what Rashi says. That he's taught him in Mehatoreach. Now the Meiri picks up on Rashi
but he at least has another explanation. The tircha per se is not the exempting, it's not the exemption. The problem is, what happens if it's going to start raining? Says to me, what happens if it's going to start raining? So what is a person supposed to do when it starts raining? What do you normally do? You go back to the house, and that's it. But here, this guy, his house is miles away. What if he's a shomer dinos of hardeisa? So to expect that he would now have to take all of his stuff, bring it back to the house, under those circumstances, echanami, you puck it. What? He's sleeping in his little outside on the field, by the little the hut.
Isn't that like a real sukkah like this, with a shoulder? Isn't that what they stay in anyway?
Right.
So maybe it's an issue that doesn't go back
to that. Okay, that's the Gemara we have there on that test. That may not have been built l'shem sukkah. That such a thing may not have been built l'shem sukkah. You have something a building like that up all year. That was the question about the sukkah l'shma. But here, that's not the issue here. He built it specifically for the mitzvah of sukkah. And the question is, why would he be exempt from sukkah? So according to Rashi, I don't really believe that it's limited only to a situation of shema gidus or pardesim. Maybe this would apply to somebody who lives in a city and there is no sukkah right there. And if it's going to start raining, what's he going to do in the middle of the night? What's he going to do? He's going to have to schlep all his stuff home? Maybe indeed that would grant him an exemption. That's a bias interpretation. So that's Rashi and the Meir. The Ritva says no. That's not the exemption. That's too much effort either to schlep yourself there or too much effort to schlep it home. He says, the Ritva says, that the halacha, the requirement to make a sukkah, is only where your bias is kavula. Namely, if I have a bias kavua, then the halacha expects me to do what? Say meidira keva, and go into what? Into what's called our diras aroi. But if you don't have a diras keva, if your entire residence all year is in, or at this time around Sukkot, is in a temporary hut, because you're out on the field being the shiner, there is no chiyuv of sukkah. That's a much bigger chiddush. That the chiyuv of eating sukkah is only if you have a permanent residence, what he calls diras keva. But if you don't have a diras keva, where the contrast between three sukkahs to sukkahs is not as crystallized, you're exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. I'll give you a little ka'ein. It's not exactly, but it's almost a ka'ein. Take the shita concerning the primary ikar hamitzvah of Ner Chanukah. What's the halach of Ner Chanukah? Nerishu Beisa. Somebody lives in a homeless. Somebody doesn't have a house. It's not chayv in the Chanukah. Why? Because the takana is made for your bodies. Here too says the Ritva. The halacha of Asukas Teshru is to serve as a contrast to your bayis kavua. If you don't live in a bayis kavua, there is no chiyuv to eat in the sukkah, and that emerges from Teshru Kein Kadur. That's what the Ritva said.
How much time before sukkah?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Because he really has a makom kavua.
But he hasn't been, I know.
A week.
I know. He doesn't, the Ritva doesn't tell us how far before Sukkot do you now have to be, does it mean if you assume your job, Erev Yontif, does that mean, okay, I don't have my bias kavua because now I'm going to be sleeping on the field? Does it have to be there a week, a month? That's a good question. I don't know. Yeah. What?
Okay.
So, right. The question is, will his hotel be his? The hotel, it's not that it has to be your fixed bias. It has to be the type of bias which is considered a diras keva. A hotel is a very good diras keva.
There's two shomrei here and shomrei ganas and paras.
Yes.
Shomrei here, you're just going there for a fixed amount of time. Or
and you have a
ganas and paras in the sense we are there all the time.
And it's not going to be as kavula. Could. Maybe that is the difference. Maybe that's the difference. Again, but the Gemara should have said, should have, instead of just listing the difference, the Yerushalmi should have listed the difference between Daisos and Mammon as in terms of how much of a commitment you have to make to it. You know, we're reading into it. I'm not saying it's not possible. That's Abaye's opinion. Rava says, Pirtza Koira Laganav. Let's take a look at Rashi. Pirtza Koira Laganav. Mashal Hedyatu. What does this mean? It's just on mushroom. Avtan, what does Pirtza Koira Laganav mean? If there is a hole, if there is a breach in the fence, that's an invitation. Koira Laganav. That's an invitation for the thief to come through. If you don't have a good shomer, if you have a wall and there is a breach in the fence, that's an invitation for the ganav to come in. So too, Avkan. Haganav Roer Oso. Yoshev Besukah Balayla. The Ghana does his due diligence, and he notices that what? That the Shomer is sleeping in the Sukkah. V'hu nichnas v'gonev ha'peros l'ruach ha'cheres. So he goes on the other side of the field, and he starts stealing the fruit. So, according to Rava, it's got nothing to do with Ahalach and Teshu came to Duru. What's the reason why you're exempt? Because you can't, exactly. You can't do the Shmira properly. So you can't do your job properly. That's also a very unusual explanation. You can't do your job properly, and therefore what has the Ahalach done? Exempt you from the Mitzvah Son. That's all it's saying. I can't do my job. So, why shouldn't it be the Balabayas' responsibility? You know what? Hire two shomer. One will work during the day, the other one at night. He can't say, you know, you're responsible to work 24 hours, and since I got to work 24 hours, I can't afford to sleep in the sukkah. What did they expect of this guy? He will not be sleeping. He'll be sleeping outside, obviously. No one can go, you know, days and days without sleep. So where will he be sleeping? He'll be sleeping outside. So like you said, as soon as somebody comes, he'll wake up right away and he'll see it. But if you're sleeping in the sukkah, you wake up, you still can't see the ganav. The ganav will walk on the other side. It's not, again, not terribly compelling. A guy has to do his job, and he's exempt from the midst of sukkah. It's very, very unusual.
Oh, we haven't.
I was thinking about Berchas HaMazon. Okay?
Krishna.
Good. Okay? It's Kriya Shema. It's Berchas HaMazon.
So maybe by saying, if the Mitzvah is, are you full time?
Good. So this would be another category of where the Halacha is giving preeminence not to a Mitzvah, but to rather what? To Dini Mamonos between you and your employer. That's good. It's a very good analogy. The Mishnah of Ruffles tells us that somebody who is working Barosh HaElon, right? All he does is say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and that's it. And he continues work. Somebody who's a poel who gets time to bench doesn't say the whole Berachas HaMazon. He says the first bracha of Hazazanas HaOlam. Then he combines the bracha of No Delacha and Rachinah into one bracha, and he doesn't say the fourth bracha Hu Heitiv Hu Meitiv Hu Yeitiv Lana. Why? Because your employer is entitled to good supervision, good day's work, a good day's work, and it overrides certain halachas. According to Rava, it overrides the halacha of what? Of eating in the sukkah. That's apparently it is the address. It's got nothing to do with teishu kei tedur. It's simply a lack of possibility of discharging your employer's responsibility. Yeah, that's what it seems to be. Ask the Gemara, my benai, what difference does it make as to whether you exempt the shomer based on teshu kein taduru, or you exempt the shomer based on pirtza koira laganav? Answers the Gemara, iko benayu de komintar karya de pri. what does this mean? Where, exactly. He wasn't asked to watch a whole field. He was asked to watch one little basket of fruit, which is right in front of him. So if you're concerned about Pirtzo Kairi L'Dana, there's no Pirtzo Kairi L'Dana, sitting right in front of you, Adana's not going to come and get it. So under those circumstances, you'd be chayiv in the sukkah. But if your concern is Teshu came to do, then we're worried about the tirukha, that you have to schlep your bed and all of your china to the sukkah, and this is still out on the field, even though you don't have to watch the whole field, you have to watch a particular basket of fruit, nonetheless, it would still apply, so according to Abaye, you would be chayiv. Yeah.
I think looking at the fact that Yerushalmi is sitting in Yerushalayim, I think he implies that the Magen Avraham, to reconcile the Bavli and Yerushalmi, he says the Bavli is Bavli, the Magen Avraham is Bavli, and this is the patron of the Rabbah. It's shown that Gaisos have to take, like, they watch the fort. They're always at the fort, you know, the weak point in the city. So they only have one place to watch.
Uh-huh.
In a day, so when they're watching a day, that one place they can make a sukkah and sleep there at night.
Mm-hmm.
A shomer, a pardesan, or a mamon, this is the Rebbe's point. If you make the sukkah that one place, to make the sukkah even in the other time that they're off duty, that's the indication to the god of, and therefore that's why they have a tour book, Beba Yom Uvenba
line. Okay. He points that out to see in Yerushalayim?
On the body. He spoke Rebbe, but that's the... And he quotes the Magen Avraham as Lehecha,
and
he gives the Rebbe's reason.
Uh-huh.
He says over here, It's not like based on a time issue, it's more based on...
Got it.
Description, job description.
Yeah, that's what it seems to be. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So this is actually, you know, very difficult. Very difficult. And Tysus just makes one simple observation, that even though Rava offers the explanation here, Pirtza Kora Laganov, don't think that Rava doesn't adopt the halacha of Teshuva King Faduru. Rava undoubtedly holds the exemption of Teshuva King Faduru. But what does he believe? This is not exactly a Teshuva King Faduru case. The Teshuva King Faduru is for Mitztair, for Geshem, things like that. But not when you can't do your job. That's different. That's something else. That's something else. Yeah. Hello again, Abdul Salvaid. Yeah. Question.
On a comparable level, could you say that, for example, this coming Thursday night, Shomer here, what are they hiding in the Gila or not?
Is he asking for a soldier in Sagan Ali Israel, and he's posted somewhere out to the outpost, and he's supposed to be on duty all night, and he can't read it. He should not read the Megillah. He should not. If he reads the Megillah, he's putting his fellow soldiers and all of Eretz Yisrael in danger. Because you read the Megillah, you can't watch out what's going on. It happened during the Yom Kippur War. You know, soldiers were told soldiers are told not to fast on Yom Kippur. Because if you fast on Yom Kippur, you're going to be weak and you can't see what's going on. But I grant you, this Gemara is not, conceptually, it's lacking something in terms of a real clear definition why you should be exempt. Continues the Gemara. Cholim u'mishamshehem. The Mishnah said that if somebody is ill, he and all of the attendants for this person are exempt from sukkah. Tana Rabbah. Cholim sha'amru lo chole sheyesh by sakana, ela afilu chole sheim by sakana. Again, if you ask me, I would say this is nishkan by sachedish, because if it was a chole sheyesh by sakana, I wouldn't need the Mishnah to tell me they're exempt from sukkah. Of course, you're exempt from sukkah. We'll see perhaps what it means. So, al afilu chole sheim by sakana. Afilu chosh be'enav, va'afilu chosh berosha. Somebody has, his eyes are bothering, head is bothering him, he's also exempt, outside, he's exempt from sukkah. Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, pam achas chashti be'enai be'kesari. Once I was in Caesarea, and my eyes were bothering me. Vehiti Rav Yosei Berebi Lishon Ani Umishamshai Chutz V'Sukkah. And Rav Yosei Berebi, Rashi says that Rav Yosei Bar Chalafta, he allowed us to sleep out of the sukkah because my eyes were bothering me. Okay, so that's what I want to say. There are several. What constitutes a chayla she'ein by sakana in other areas of halacha? Take, for example, in relationship to Hilchos Shabbos, right? There are categories for Hilchos Shabbos that are suspended for chayla she'ein by sakana. For example, Amir Lenachri is mutter for a chayla she'ein by sakana, Amir Lenachri. Or the gzeira midrabanan against taking medication is suspended if you are a chole she'ein bar sakana. So what's called a chole she'ein bar sakana by Hilchos Shabbos? Nafal mishkan, correct. Technically it means that it's bothering you so much that you are bedridden. So if you have to be in bed, under those circumstances, you are considered a chole she'ein bar sakana. The Rav wants to interpret a little differently, so he didn't actually need it that you actually were in bed, but you couldn't engage in your normal day-to-day routine. If you have such a terrible headache that you can't focus on your job, even though you're not lying down necessarily, that would now classify you as a chayla shein v'shakan. So is that what the Gemara is now saying? Or is it even less than that? So perhaps this is what is Rav Shimon ben Gamliel just coming up and reiterating what the Braisa just said? Or is Rav Shimon Gamliel saying that there is something even a category less than that? So I think you wanted to say, Yisrael, that it's a category less than that. Correct. It's not only somebody who's a chayla shenafa lemishka, but it's even just one chashbeina. Shimon Gamliel didn't say I was totally incapacitated, said I was bedridden, but because my eyes were bothering, then I was exempt. Any slight nechush whatsoever exempts you from sukkah. And the Rabbotai will ask why. Why are you exempt from sukkah based on any slight nechush? What's the exemption? What? Teshuv came to do. What are you going to do when you have a little headache? You're walking out of your house? What are you going to do? How do we see, I also thought of that, but how do we see the Teshuv, what's the Ke'en Teduru in this case? What's the Ke'en Teduru?
You wouldn't leave the house.
I wouldn't leave the house.
You'd stay home.
You'd stay home if you have a little headache. Okay, so therefore, if you stay home, so then you should stay home now too. Okay? And how many people stay home, you know, when you have 10 days a year sick leave? I don't know how many people are staying home because they have a headache. They're not going to work for a day. You know, your eyes are bothering you a little. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Even more so than the people taking care of these people are also exempt. Not
the
hashbeinah, but the one who's taking care of the hashbeinah.
What?
Who's?
The mishamshim, because they have to be with you.
Is that their job?
This is their job to be with the patient, to be with this patient. I don't think the mishamshim means a nurse. I don't think it means a nurse here. He means that this person is normally attends to whom? To this person. He's a shamish. Right? Like a shamish of a rebbe. So if the rebbe can't go into the sukkah, the shamish has got to be there with him. What? It's also a job. That's correct. It's a job. It's an occupation. Correct. Occupation. And again, it's somewhat, we're not attuned to thinking along these lines, but that would be the exception for a mitzvah because your job says, I got to be with them. But very difficult. Very difficult. Yeah. Okay. We'll stop here, and then next time we'll quote a big machloikis between the Rabbeinu Tam and other Rishonim, whether Sakonas Ayin, Sakonas Aver, is Doiches HaShabbos or not. Tosis here cites the Rabbeinu Tam, Shulchan Aruch passes against him, and Reb Chaim said to ignore the Shulchan Aruch and pass him like the Rabbeinu Tam. It's the one thing that he insisted on his son, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. And when he became the Rav in Chaslavich, he said, you can pass him anything you want, any way you want, you don't have to listen to me at all. But for this, for Sakonas Aver, you have to be Dorchot HaShabbos, you got to listen to me.